punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Chancy and Jimmy. It's got a good ring, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right. We got a full day today. Chancy's in the studio. Her mom's in here creeping on us. And what else we got? I got an update from Cattlemen's Congress coming up later in the show. And then Dr. Sarah Place with the Colorado State University is going to be on here and starting in our second segment to talk about sustainability. And tomorrow, I'm totally excited. Got Dr. Daniel Clark, no doctors in the Clark part of the deal except his Clarks, from Ohio, he lives in Ohio. He works for the Certified Angus Beef. He's a scientist and meat scientist, and he's going to talk about wet and dry aging. It's going to be really, really interesting. Meanwhile, back here in our part of the world, currently it's 48 at Hollis, 50 at Mangum, 48 at Hobart, 46 at Cheyenne, 45 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell, 48 at Camargo, and 48 at Butler. That's your hometown, isn't it, Mom?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Mrs. Ripito back there if you didn't hear. Anyway, Buffalo's 45 and Slapout's 46. I'll have your forecast, Long Rangers, coming up for you later on this show. Well, Chancy, I hear you had a great weekend last weekend.
Yeah, we did all right.
I heard there's a lot of people.
Yes, they had kids representing 7 different states and roughly 650 head on Saturday.
And this was the what bash?
The New Year's bash at Altus.
But it was fun. No matter, I had fun.
Yeah, I had fun there. It was a fun show.
All right. And then was there a show Sunday too?
Yeah, it was just another day of the New Year's bash. The only difference was a different judge.
Oh, I got you. And did the outcome come out any different?
We didn't show on Sunday. We actually had a Christmas with Dad's mom, so we didn't show on Sunday.
Oh, I bet your grandma's listening right now.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I see. When you're on, I see her movement on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I had a friend of mine over in the Delhi area. You all guys know him as Sugar Baby. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Bandy's father.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, he was kind enough to let me have some hay, and some of my hay tested hot, so he replaced it. He said it was a mixture of sorghums, Sudan grass, and stuff like that. I got it home, hauled 4 trailer loads yesterday evening into the dark, wee hours of the dark, and I unrode one for the cows, and I'm thinking I think he storied to me. I don't think it was the sorghum Sudan. I think it was some of this sugar cane that he grows over there, and he baled it up. And the reason why I say this is because this stuff is so dense and put upright that he could only put it in 4x5 baby bales. And I don't guess they have man-sized balers over there in that area, 5x6s. So anyway, but I appreciate him letting me purchase some of his fine hay. But it's sugarcane hay. And I'm looking forward to this coming year where he's going to start growing pineapples. See if there's such thing as pineapple hay.
Pineapple hay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of such a thing.
I haven't heard of it. So anyway, we're going to find out about it. Anyway, we got lots of good things going on today. Let's check. I'm going to give the Wheeler General Store an extra push this week. Can you help me out with it?
I sure can. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all of the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas. They look forward to serving you.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Grain prices. Corn. Everything, I'm just going to let you know, everything on my board that I have in front of me right now is in the red. Everything except for oil. So imagine that. Corn for March, 650. Maize also 650. July, 645. Soybean, January, 1462. March, 1467. And May, 1474. Soybean meal, January, 485. Soybeans for March, meal, 462.50. May is 449.60. Hard red winter wheat, 836 for May, 906 for March. Oats for March, 347, also 347 for May. Cotton, number two, March, 80 cents a pound. May is also 80 cents a pound. Live cattle for February, 157.05. April, 161.02. June, 157.05. August, 156.85. Feeder cattle, January, 183.67, March, 186.45, lean hogs, February, 81.95, 90.95 for April, and May is 97.47. And we got a few minutes left here. I haven't got the results from the Hobart Stockyards yet. As soon as I get them, I'll let you guys know. Woodward's going on right now with their regular weekly calf sale. Be their first sale back from the holidays tomorrow. Elk City will be having theirs Saturday. Hollis, Yellow. Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Tuesday, we got Beaver County Sale Barn going on. And we got, matter of fact, I didn't finish yesterday. I ran out of time. So I got the cows and the bulls covered yesterday from Tuesday's sale at Beaver. And I'll go over some of the heifer calves with you right now. They had a pretty good-sized bunch that weighed 635, brought $1.73. 24 of them at 500 brought 184, and 11 at 406 was 209. And on the heifer yearlings, they had 67. They had two bunches of 67. One weighed 728, one weighed 729. They brought it 174.50 to 176.10, which is almost $1,300 a head. And then some 500-pound, 556. They had a big load there, 43, brought $1.94.50. And some 478 brought 201.85. And then get over here to the steers if I can get my papers apart. They have a big sale report. Bear with me here. All right, steer calves. 856 brought $1.63.50, which is $1,400 a head. And they had a nice bunch of weighed 393, brought 254. Getting on up there. And then on some steer yearlings, some 867 head, 57 of them exactly brought 182.50. That's almost $1,600 a head. 64 of them weighing at 798, $1.84.25, just a few dollars short of $1,500 a head. And then some 698s brought $1.94.10, and they was about almost $1,360 a head there. And then on down here to some lighter weight, some 400s, brought 244, almost $1,000. 482s did bring over 1,000, brought 219. And that was at Beaver up in the Panhandle of Oklahoma. Jancy, when are you going to Denver?
Dad is leaving for layover with my pigs the 12th, and then me and Mom are driving up the 15th after I show at Elk City.
You got a lot going on, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Uh-huh. Well, it's your senior year. No use taking a break. Taking a break? You're not no use to taking a break.
Oh, no.
And then, why are you all dressed up in here today?
We're hosting the 14th annual Merritt Classic at Merritt. Our boys and girls play at 6 o'clock tonight.
So oh, I got you.
I had,
If you see her on Facebook, she's all dressed up and got her turquoise on, got her Oiler shirt on. She's looking bright and shiny.
Well, thank you.
All right. When we come back, I'll have Dr. Sarah Place on with us, and Jancy and I are going to find out what sustainability is. You got that all ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 16th. 1,979 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 387 brought 258. 7 at 401 brought 224. 9 at 473 brought 210. 4 at 564 brought 182. 5 at 632 brought 176. 22 at 645 brought 180. 3 at 685 brought 164. 8 head of heifers at 389 brought 192. 13 at 476 brought 169. 3 at 528 brought 166. 5 at 610 brought 163.50. 8 at 615 brought 157. 4 at 704 brought 156. 5 at 983 brought 140. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 98. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 1100 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Coming on with me? All right. Welcome back to Today in Ag with Jancy and Jimmy. Currently at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, it's 50 degrees. It's showing no wind and 28% humidity. And on the phone with me is Dr. Sarah Place, and she's with the Colorado State University. I hope I got that right. And welcome to the show, Dr. Place.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great. How's things up north?
We're a little bit colder than you. We're sitting at about 28 degrees right now, so a little bit colder, a little bit of snow, but all good up here.
Yeah. Colorado State University, where's that exactly?
Yeah, it's in Fort Collins, Colorado. So right. We're just south of the Wyoming border, basically, and right up against the mountains, still on the plains.
On I-25, headed towards Cheyenne.
That's right, exactly.
I keep forgetting that. I drove by there 100 times in the last 5 years because I was working in Wyoming and North Dakota, and I never even... I was too worried about that Cabela's north of Denver going towards Fort Collins.
Oh, yeah, of course, right? Yeah.
So, anyway, well, welcome to the show. And especially in the last year with the agriculture inputs, whether you're a farmer or rancher, have gone out the roof, and the word sustainability keeps coming up. And I really, I asked questions a few weeks ago on what people, our listeners, thought it was, and I really didn't get a really good answer, and that's why we got you on here today, because we want to talk about sustainability.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we can definitely get right into it, kind of talk about what it is, but it definitely also makes sense that people have different definitions, because that's a big part of it. It's a word that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
You must be famous, because I've already got a text asking, did Dr. Place teach nutrition at Oklahoma State University?
Yes, I did.
Wow, yes, I did. Small world.
Yeah. So I was at Oklahoma State from 2013 to the end of 2016. So
okay, cool.
Some time there in Stillwater.
So yep. You are famous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Hopefully the person asking about nutrition didn't have too bad an experience, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is there a lot of different definitions for sustainability, or is there only one definition for sustainability in the ag world?
Yeah, there's multiple definitions, but they all kind of have the same flavor. And by that, I mean they contain the same components, usually. And that's, you know, it's about balancing three main areas. So first and foremost is economics. So like you mentioned, right, you got to be economically viable. When we think about input costs and everything else over the last few years, that's at the forefront when we're thinking about this in agriculture. But it's bigger than just economics as well. So it's economics, it's social issues. So that could be everything from, you know, rural communities and how well they're doing, and, you know, animal welfare falls into that bucket. And then the final one would be the environment. And that sometimes gets most of the attention in the mainstream press when it comes to agriculture. It's talking about environmental impacts. But it's all three of those areas. So you got to be economically viable, you got to be socially responsible, and have environmental stewardship. And then from a sustainability standpoint, thinking about the long-term nature of that. Right? Are you maintaining the good that you have and improving upon it? Right. That's really what sustainability is about.
Well, let's start with the one of them. Let's start with the economic.
Yes, absolutely. So when we think about economics, you know, that can be a broad brush as well. If we're talking about, obviously, from a producer standpoint, right, it's your own economics, your own operation and enterprise, and tracking that over time and, you know, meeting your goals, whatever they may be, if it's passing on the operation to the next generation. When we zoom out bigger, we think about agriculture and producing food for people. It also includes things like, you know, can people afford food, right, on the other side of it. We're very lucky here in the U.S. that, right, most people can afford food. We have a relatively cheap food supply. That said, obviously, inflation has tightened a lot of people's belts, and that's a key component of it as well, right, is the affordability of food, since we're all eaters. And then from a standpoint of the people producing the food and the primary production, can you make it? Can you grow? Can you thrive? Can you meet your financial goals from that standpoint?
Right. And, you know, this year and this past year, not only is, well, even you guys up there in Colorado, but Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas, and basically everybody west of there, we've been in a drought. Hay is a big commodity right now, is one of the big commodities, and the droughts cause water shortages for the farmers in New Mexico and Arizona and California, and you start adding in all those little factors. I mean, I just named a few of them, and there's a bunch of them, and guys getting rid of culling cattle, and some of them culling whole herds, because they don't have any grass or they don't have any hay, and it ends up being a big mess.
Yes. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, as I mentioned, right, I was in Oklahoma in 2013, of course, coming through that terrible drought, 2011-2012, right? Not quite the same, but similar situation of a lot of cows being sold and folks really having a hard time dealing with what Mother Nature was throwing at them, right? So that's one of those things, as I say, some of these things is kind of pie in the sky and, you know, the ideal of, hey, these are all the things we want to consider for sustainability, but that's always the challenge with agriculture is you're often a price taker in many of these situations, but then also your business partner is Mother Nature, right? And so that's obviously incredibly key when we have these discussions is to be realistic about what's possible and then thinking through, from that standpoint, what are the ways that we can manage risk and diversify in places where we can to as one of those risk management strategies, just knowing that droughts and other things will continue to happen in the future.
Oh, yeah. We've had drought. We've had droughts forever, and sometimes right. They just don't come at the right time. So, you know,
they don't line up, right?
Yeah, they don't line up. And you know, my landlord, he's in his, he might be 80, he might be in his early 80s, but he's always said, he said, you can figure on a pretty decent drought at least every 10 years. Well, here we are, mm-hmm. 2022, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. been 10 years since 2011. And mm-hmm. the only thing good I've heard about the 2011 drought is that the cattle genetics have gotten better since the 2011 drought because a lot of guys culled a lot of cattle and replaced them with better cattle.
Yep, that is true, right? That's sometimes a harsh reality of this going through those tough times. It sometimes is those animals that are not the best performers, right? They're ones that are going to exit the herd.
Right. Well, Jancy Ripito's on here and with me, and she comes and helps me every Thursday, and she's really good at her job, only she has to do it 1 hour a week. But anyway, I give her a hard time. But she's a senior in high school. She's very active in FFA. She is part owner of their own swine production, and she's a go-getter. Jancy, you got any questions for Dr. Place on the subject we're talking about on the economics?
Yes, I do have one question. So talking about sustainability in today's time, how do you think it's going to affect us in the future years?
So are you thinking about from a standpoint of the broader conversation around sustainability and other people's perceptions, or are you thinking about it from a standpoint of some of these issues that we just brought up of
some of the economic issues you and Jimmy discussed?
Yeah. So I think that's one of the broader challenges, and this is nothing new that we're going to discuss, right, is especially from your perspective as a young person getting into production agriculture, and that's awesome. It can be a little bit more difficult, right? And the reality is, of course, if you're not in agriculture, don't have access to land, it can be very difficult, right, to get started. So I think that's one of those realities as well on the economic front of these challenges and headwinds we're talking about is what does that mean for the next generation, for young people like yourself, and what are those creative ways to get into production agriculture and make it work? And oftentimes that means maybe doing things where you're trying to maximize your productive assets and maybe not, if you can't have access to land, think creatively about other ways you can get into agriculture from an animal ag perspective if we're focusing on that right now.
Well, that's a great question, Jancy.
I just wanted to really know as I got older kind of how this would affect me and the future generation of agriculturalists. So mm-hmm. that's kind of my only question that I had for you.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing, too, to just emphasize is, as we kind of go through these other components of sustainability is this is a topic that, you know, as we talk about this, hopefully folks hear that and say, well, it's kind of what we've already been doing, right, of trying to be sustainable, trying to manage the land, trying to do right by the community and make sure that we're economically viable, right? It's nothing new. But at the same time, I think people that are you know, consuming all the products we produce in agriculture, they keep asking more questions, right? And so I don't think this issue is going to go away. So from your perspective as a young person, right, you're going to be talking about this, whether we change the words, we call it sustainability or something else. It's all the questions central to how do we stay in business and how do you take care of land and how do we feed ourselves?
Yeah, because today I think you had to really think hard before going purchasing a piece of land, and then you're going to have to buy equipment, whether it's, well, if it's a farm, or you're going to have to buy cattle if it's going to be a cattle production ranch. And land prices are the highest they've ever been, ever. And, you know, it's like in Iowa, you want some corn ground, you're going to spit out about $11,000 or $12,000 an acre for it. Well, how do you make that? I mean, you know, you're going to have to either hire it all done, or you're going to go out and buy your own equipment. And then on the flip side of that, on the ranching part, you know, you come out here and spend $1,500 to $2,500 an acre for land, and maybe you have to put new fence up, and that's $2,500 a quarter, whatever, you know, however big a property you buy. And then you got to go out and buy $1,500 to $2,500 bred cows. Where are you going to come out on that? If you don't have money in your pocket and don't already own land.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's the reality on the economic side of things, right, is from a standpoint of if you're starting with a balance sheet that's pretty light on the asset side of things and you're trying to just put all that capital investment into getting going, it's very hard to ever make that pencil, and especially from a cash flow standpoint in the near term, right? So I think that's where it's thinking through things of being creative, right? Thinking through different ways to start building building assets, building equity, building a position, and kind of what I meant by, you know, thinking through productive assets. I know there was a big push even in the last drought, right, of saying, well, can you put in times where we don't have pasture, can we put cows in confinement for a short amount of time, right? And that might be a cheaper way to do it. From a standpoint, if you're a young person trying to build a cow herd, hey, can I run some cows in confinement for a bit, have a lower overhead cost in the near term, and then be able to find land to lease or buy in the longer run, right? So those kind of solutions are trying to think through, how do I get around this huge capital outlay of trying to purchase land and all this big equipment, right out of the gate?
Yeah, I talked about it last week on the show, the episode right after Christmas of Yellowstone. I know it's a show, but this was pretty reality. It was, you know, they had an issue where they're going to have to bring all their cattle from Yellowstone down to southeastern Colorado into the Texas Panhandle. And John Dutton was going to have to spend lots of hundreds of thousands of dollars to move all his cows down there, move them down there. And then they're going to have to feed them. He's going to have to send his hired hands down there to feed them. And Beth, my favorite, she said, Dad, how much is that going to cost? And she said, you can't do that. You can't afford that. You're already not making anything. Now you're going to add another million or $2 million to the pot into debt every month. What are you thinking? I got to save my cattle. Well, sometimes you got to save your cattle, but sometimes you got to let it go.
That's true, and that's one of those, you know, flexibilities that we see for some folks of maybe moving away from having a cow herd or having fewer cows and then playing that game with Mother Nature. If you have grass, can you use stock or cow, right, to fill the gap and try to generate revenue that way without having that year-long cost of maintaining the mama cow out on the landscape?
Well, I have a guest on the show here once a month, Kent, and he said here 5 or 6 months ago, he said, you know, this might be the year, just park the tractors, sell the cows, and sit on the fence. And, I mean, that's the exact words. Dr. Place, if you got a minute, I need to take a break.
Absolutely.
And when we come back, we'll talk about the social part of it.
Sounds great.
All right.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Did
BJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is celebrating 35 years in business thanks to you, their loyal customers. Bobby and Trish invite you to help them celebrate all year long. Stop by every chance you get. They look forward to seeing you. DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City, where they rent most everything and sell new mowers too. See all they have to offer at DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com. And be sure to check out their ad in each week's Penny News. This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Beef is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
High school juniors and seniors, do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a mechanical aptitude competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back, and with Jancy and Jimmy, and we got Dr. Sarah Place on the phone with us from Colorado State University. Used to be at Stillwater at the Cowboy Land. Now that we found out via text message. And anyway, Dr. Place, thanks again for being on today. And we're talking about sustainability. And you said there was three different types of sustainability, one of them being economics and one being social and one being environment. Can you touch a little bit on the social?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the part of sustainability that is always kind of the squishiest, if you will, right? Because it's comes down to things that are a lot of it about perception and how people feel about different issues. So, for example, there, you know, we can be talking about issues such as animal welfare or cultural aspects of whether it's agricultural production or, again, back on the food side of things, food choices that people make, and thinking about just at the you know, basic level nutrition for folks, right? We think about all the activities we do in agriculture, whether animal ag or crop ag. At the end of the day, right, we're here to produce food and fiber and, you know, fuel, right, from a standpoint of that's what the outcomes are from agriculture. So all that is kind of thrown in that bucket of social sustainability. You know, the ethical components of it, if you will, are really live in that bubble of social.
That's a pretty big bucket.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. Yeah, and from a science standpoint, it's usually the one that's hardest for us to quantify, right? We kind of give lip service to it, but it's hard to quantify some of those things.
Yeah, and, you know, I was made to comment about Yellowstone and John Dutton and Beth. I had a text in just now, and I guess I did not hear it, but anyway, this texter sent in. You might not have heard all of what Dutton said. He said, if we sell all the cows, we have no income for next year.
Yeah, so there you go. Thinking about sustainability is also a long-term focus, right?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, on the environmental part of being stewards of the land, how do we touch on sustainability there?
Yeah, so I'd say this is the one that gets most of the attention from the standpoint of what people talk about when they say sustainability and agriculture or food, right? So issues in that bucket would include, you know, everything from land use and water use and quality and availability, right, to the big one that often gets talked about, which is climate change, right? So whether it's the impacts of changing climate and variability on agriculture itself, or oftentimes talking about the greenhouse gas emissions that come from agriculture. But you also have things like biodiversity thrown in there. When we think about those unique aspects of cattle production specifically, we're talking about using land resources that really can't be put to any other use from a standpoint of producing food, right? So all that is encompassed in that environmental pillar of sustainability, if you will.
Yeah, and the climate change is, it's just an everyday conversation now. And it's, you know, myself, right or wrong, I believe in climate change, but climate change has been going on since day one. And whether I have my own theories, whether they're political or non-political, I don't know. But you know, you have the United States trying to set the standard, or wanting to set the standard for getting greenhouse emissions under control, and you're doing the electric car stuff and all this other stuff. But if the other big world, we're the probably one of the least populated big countries in the world. If the other ones aren't going to do it, what's going to happen? You know, there's so many questions out there about it. But somebody still has to feed them.
So that's a good lead in there, right? Of this is the challenge with any of these issues. If we get too single-minded, right, and only focus on, say, we just need to cut greenhouse gas emissions, you know, we can go after that, but we also indeed have to pay attention to producing enough food for people, and not just calories, but also thinking about we got to produce high-quality nutrition for folks, right, and not just in the U.S., but around the world. So that's part of the challenge with this is there's, you know, back to the opening of this conversation, saying there's many definitions of sustainability. That's part of it, is that people have different priorities, right? Some people have priorities that really are focused on, we got to cut greenhouse gas emissions now, understandably where those people are coming from. But, you know, others would say, hey, that's awesome, but what about, we got to pay attention to these other aspects, right? So we're trying to balance all these things all the time. And really what we want to do is find those win-wins. And meaning, can we lower greenhouse gas emissions or lower other forms of potential pollution, but then also improve efficiency, right? Improve economic well-being of the business.
Right.
And there are those opportunities. That's kind of one of the things I think that sometimes gets left off here is, especially from a standpoint of agriculture, there's lots of examples of where being more efficient or thinking about land use in a kind of holistic manner and having good stewardship usually, oftentimes, is associated with lower environmental impacts, and usually that helps your pocketbook out, right? So those two things aren't necessarily in conflict. Oftentimes, they go together.
Right. Jancy, did you come up for something for Dr. Place?
You know, Dr. Place touched on a lot of different aspects of sustainability, so I really don't have anything to ask her right now.
Okay, cool. Anyway, I just wondered if you was over there. You were thinking, and I wanted to make sure her thinking got thought of.
It did.
So, well, Dr. Place, if you got a piece of advice to hand out to farmers and ranchers out in the real world, what would be one of them?
Well, I'd say a lot of it, when it comes to this big old topic of sustainability, a lot of it is what you've already been doing, right? Putting a newer word on top of what you focus on every single day, which is taking care of your business, thinking about your farm, your family, your ranch, thinking about your community, and trying to do right by the land you manage and the water that you manage and depend upon. So from that standpoint, sustainability is nothing new. And in often most cases, right, being more efficient and doing the right thing in terms of becoming more economically viable is often tied to making progress on that environmental sustainability piece. That's the key thing.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Sarah Place with Colorado State University, our topic today was sustainability and the definition of it, and there's all kinds of definitions for it. And my favorite definition was the one I got on a text message here a couple of weeks ago from a big Angus rancher. He said, sustainability is going to the bank, making your payment, and the banker says, carry on. That's my
thing. If you don't get that one done, you're probably not sustainable, right? So that's
right.
You're done.
And so, well, Dr. Place, thank you so much for coming on, and stay warm up there. And if you come up with some other good answers for sustainabilities or any other topics you think that my ag listeners would love to hear about, you have all my information.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Jancy, are you going to sit there and are you going to get the weather report ready?
I sure will.
Okay, cool. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. And we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 19th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,487 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 381 brought 268. 12 at 524 brought 201. 4 at 570 brought 194. 3 at 602 brought 185. 31 at 730 brought 179. 4 at 771 brought 178. 52 at 820 brought 179. 3 head of heifers at 400 brought 177. 4 at 451 brought 180. 8 at 519 brought 163. 6 at 564 brought 174. 7 at 581 brought 168. 14 at 604 brought 176. 3 at 633 brought 172. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 95. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 900 to 1285. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're going to have to get the boss, Gabe, to make one of those with that guy's voice with Jimmy and Jancy.
Yeah, he needs to get on that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in here or not, and hopefully he heard us. Who are you going to pick for weather today?
I picked Hollis today.
How come?
Because that's where my best friend's from.
Okay, you're good.
Okay, your forecast for Hollis currently 52 degrees, mostly sunny, a high of 56 for today. Tonight's lows 36, winds out of southeast, 6 to 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 68, low of 34. Winds out of the south, 7 to 14 miles an hour. Saturday, mostly sunny, high of 55, low of 29. Winds out of the northeast to the south, 5 miles an hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 60, low of 35. Winds out of the south, 8 miles an hour. And on Monday, mostly sunny with a high of 67, winds southwest to the west, 6 to 12 miles an hour.
Okay. Anyway, we got, hot off the news, Pat. I got Hobart Stockyards, and that weather Jancy just did was, thank you, Hobart Farm and Garden, for sponsoring that. But hot off the press is numbers from Hobart Stockyards yesterday. I don't know how many head they had, but it looks like the 2 to 3 weight steers were bringing 230. The 3 to 4 weights were bringing 162 to 257.50. And average was 234, almost 235. 4 to 5 weights, 247.50. Pretty good. 5 to 6 weights, up to 220. 6 to 7 weights, up to $1.70. 8 to 9 weights, up to $1.56. On the heifers, 3 to 4 weights, 235. 4 to 5 weights, 215 on heifers. And that's pretty good for heifers. That's really good for heifers, actually. 6 to 7 weight heifers were bringing up to $1.72. I'll skip 5 weights. 5 to 6 weights were up to $1.89. The 7 to 8 weights bringing up to $1.46. Butcher cows were bringing up to 78 cents. Butcher bulls were bringing up to $1.11. And I'm going to go with bred cows bringing up to $16.50. Hot off the press from Hobart Stockyards. Have you ever met Rex Fleming?
I have not.
You haven't?
Nope.
How about you?
I know Rex.
See, your mom knows Rex. You and him got one thing in common.
What's that?
When you smile, we know you're smiling. See? So, Rex is a good dude. That's all I got to tell you. Let me get this ready here. Let's see if I get this ready right. I want you guys to listen to this from Chuck Abbott from Successful Farming. Plan for prolonged period of higher interest rates. Analysts are telling farmers. So listen to this real carefully.
Plan for prolonged period of higher interest rates, analysts tell farmers. By Chuck Abbott. The highest interest rates in years will complicate farm finances, and operators should expect higher rates to persist for several years as part of efforts to quash inflation, said a team of agricultural economists on Wednesday. Farmers will pay more when they borrow money, face higher break-even levels on investments, and feel downward pressure on the value of farmland, their largest asset. While these impacts will make the business of agriculture more difficult, rising interest rates will only present severe issues to a small number of agriculture firms, said the economists, writing at the FarmDoc daily blog. The extent of the financial stress created for the industry will depend on how high interest rates increase in the future and how long they remain at elevated levels. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates repeatedly last year to combat high inflation. The annual inflation rate was 7.1% at latest count. At the end of 2022, the federal funds rate, the overnight lending rate among banks, was 4.33%, with the prospects of more increases into 2023, said agricultural economists Gary Schnitke and Nick Paulson of the University of Illinois and Carl Zulauf of Ohio State. The sharp increases ended a period of low interest rates that began during the Great Recession and was reinstituted during the pandemic. Overall, farmers should expect higher interest rates than existed from 2008 to 2021 inches and plan accordingly, said the three economists. As an example, they said an inflation rate of 2-4% a year would suggest a 10-year Treasury bond rate of 4-6% and interest rates of 7-9% on agricultural debt. The Federal Reserve has a goal of limiting inflation to 2% annually over the long run. At present, the USDA's 10-year agricultural baseline assumes a bank prime rate of 6.6% this year and running at 5.1% in all but one of the following years. The prime rate is the interest rate that banks charge their most creditworthy customers and is the foundation for the interest charged on loans, credit cards, and lines of credit. An increase of 3 percentage points, to 8%, on the rate charged on an operating loan of $800 an acre would add $12 an acre to corn production costs, wrote Schnitke, Paulson, and Zulauf. Similarly, a 3-point increase would add $28 an acre to the break-even point for installing a tile line that costs $1,000 an acre. Higher interest rates generally lead to lower asset values, said the economists. While farmland values could be affected, there are countervailing factors, including robust returns on farmland and judgments by investors that land is a better hedge against inflation than financial assets. A large decline in farmland prices in 2023 is not likely, they said.
You think that's got anything to do with sustainability?
I think it does.
Yeah, high interest rate. You know, they got to get the inflation under control, but whoo, I don't know what to tell them. So you got basketball
tomorrow, and Saturday.
When are you doing your hog show?
We're showing at Altus Saturday, and hopefully the boys and the girls are both in the championship Saturday, and I'll make it back to cheer. But if the hog show runs late, then I won't be cheering Saturday.
Carter can show for you, can't he? That a bad subject?
No.
You don't want him to?
No.
There. That's a better subject. Sorry. Anyway, Carter's in his own world.
Yeah, he is.
But he's making a hand with the shooting.
He is. He did. He shot really well last weekend at Sayre. He shot a 45, I think that's right.
Out of 50?
Yes.
He's going to get that 50-50 pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he will. He's doing really good.
So, hey, Mama, come over here for a second. Let's turn the mic on. What do you think about these shooting sports for these kids nowadays? Is that crazy? Did you think you'd ever see this many kids involved in it?
No. It's fantastic, though. The one thing I like about it is there's not a judge. There's not a referee. You either hit the target or you don't.
You're in or
and
out.
And I think it's great for these kids. You either hit it or you don't. And that's how you score.
Right.
So it's competitive, but it's good competitive for these kids.
Yeah, it is. And it's not about who's got the fanciest shotgun.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, if I went out there and really paid attention, one of the kids that was doing probably the best out of all of them had probably an old-fashioned cheap pump shotgun.
I mean, Carter's using one that we're borrowing from the High Towers right now. He hasn't even bought his own, and... It's fun. He enjoys it. He's good at it.
I'm surprised Dad, he didn't have Dad over there looking at shotguns that day.
I figure as soon as we get done pigging with this one, that's where our next
investment
will be. But Carter loves it. I don't have to push him.
He
wants to go. He wants to practice. He's always got his stuff ready to go, so I don't mind putting the money in it when they want to do it.
Well, I think it's great because some of these kids, not all kids are born athletic or natural, you know, playing basketball, football, whatever. And some kids don't want to show animals like Carter.
Right.
And so now he's got a shotgun sport, and all you really got to do is invest a little time in a shotgun.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Music's playing. Time to go.
Time to go.
What are you going to tell everybody?
Thanks for listening, and God bless, and we'll see you next week.
You forgot the line. Today.
It's Today in Ag with Jimmy and Jancy.
So anyway, hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow.